Hi, everybody. I'm Carl Darden, and I'd like to welcome and thank all of you for joining us today on Navy Sports Central. I'm your host, and this is the official podcast of the Navy Sports Nation, where we take a deeper dive into Navy sports. In this episode, we'll be joined by a member of the Navy football coaching staff to discuss the latest in wearable technology and how it's being used to both evaluate and improve player performance. So stay with us if you want to get some great insight on how the Navy football program continues to look for that competitive edge all year round. All right. Thanks to all of you for joining us. If you've been here before, welcome back. And if this is your first visit, we appreciate you checking us out and hope you decide to make our podcast a regular thing. So let's go ahead and get you caught up on the latest in Navy sports. The big news coming out of Annapolis is that the Navy women's soccer team will be playing for the Patriot League Championship for the second consecutive season. That's because they beat Loyola 1-0 in a game that was played in really lousy conditions. There was just a steady rain going the entire time. The Mids' goal came in the 53rd minute from Katie Herman. She executed a beautiful spin to shake her defender and drilled a shot from about 20 yards out to the top right corner, just over the goalkeeper's outstretched hand. She actually had a similar shot in the first half, but that one just bounced off the crossbar. Anyway, the Mids made that goal stand up, but it was not easy. Loyola really pushed the action over the last 3 minutes, and in the 89th minute, they got a really good look when they took a shot from about 18 yards. But Navy goalkeeper Maddie Gallagher was able to get her hand on it and push it over the crossbar. She also jumped on a loose ball with less than 30 seconds to play to secure the win. So now the Mids will play Colgate for the Patriot League Championship on Saturday afternoon. So that's one big game to keep an eye on, but there are also several matches going on against Army this weekend. The men's and women's swimming and diving team will look to extend their long winning streaks over the Black Knights. I think those currently sit at 29 for the men and 31 for the women. And we also have men's tennis and men's golf on the road against Army as well. The tennis team will be looking for their third straight win, while the golf team tries to bounce back from a tough loss from last year. And by the way, both teams still lead in the overall series. So right now, if we look at the head-to-head competition against Army, Navy leads 9-7 overall, and they have an 8-5 lead in the star matches. That means two more star wins would clinch it for them. And after this weekend, there'll only be two remaining games against Army. Those will be in men's lacrosse and in baseball. Now, there was some disappointing news for a few of the Navy teams. Let's go ahead and start with men's soccer. They finished with a 4-1-1 record, but unfortunately that one loss came against Loyola, and Loyola is actually in Navy's division, so that really hurt with this new COVID-style playoff format. Basically, that last playoff spot came down to a tiebreaker, and unfortunately Navy lost out on goal differential. So again, a pretty good 4-1-1 season, and the nice thing is the Mids will be right back at it in the fall, so that's just a few months away. And it looks like they'll be in pretty good shape to make another playoff run. Now let's move on to the women's lacrosse team. Now, unfortunately, they did not qualify for the Patriot League tournament either. After beating Army, they came up short in two division games against Loyola and Lehigh. And since the Greyhounds and the Mountain Hawks finished 1-2 in the division, the Mids found themselves on the outside looking in this time around. But again, looking at the talent they have coming back, and when the Patriot League goes back to their normal scheduling, it should really set the Mids up to make another run at the Patriot League title. Moving on to the men, they actually found themselves in the exact same position. They came off the long break with a nice win against Bucknell, but then followed that up with two losses against Lehigh and Loyola, who also happened to be in their division. So again, similar to the women, that basically left them out of the playoffs. Now, they still have a couple of games left, including a big one against a really good Army team. So hanging a loss on the Black Knights would be a great way to close out the season. And finally, the Navy baseball team is second in their division with three games coming up against Bucknell this weekend. And if they can sweep these guys, it would give them some nice momentum heading into a big divisional series coming up in 2 weeks against Lehigh. Okay, that pretty much gets you up to speed on what's going on. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be back in a minute with our deep dive segment. Okay, welcome back, and glad to have you with us. So today on our deep dive segment, we're going to take a look at the world of athletic performance. And more specifically, we'll check out some of the ways being used to measure that performance. Over the last 15 years or so, we've seen a huge uptick in the use of wearable technology. Some of the more familiar ones we run across are the different Fitbit products, and there are a ton of other companies out there also. But for the college and pro athletes, things are way more sophisticated than that. So today we're going to learn a little bit more about this technology. And that brings us to our guest today on Navy Sports Central. He is a member of the Navy football coaching staff. And prior to arriving in Annapolis, he spent 3 years at West Virginia as assistant football strength and conditioning coach. He was also with the Minnesota Vikings for 1 year in that same role. A 2005 graduate of Towson University, he played football and served as team captain while earning a bachelor's degree in sports studies, and he later got his master's degree in education leadership from Penn State in 2008. Our guest is a certified strength and conditioning coach and holds performance coach certifications from U.S. Weightlifting and the U.S. Track and Field Association. He's in his ninth year at Navy, and this is his second season as Associate Athletic Director for Football Strength and Conditioning and Sports Performance. After serving 6 years as an assistant, he's now in his third season as the head strength and conditioning coach for football. Please welcome Coach Brian Fitzpatrick. Coach, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Carl, for having me.
All right, I wanted to jump right into it here because this is really good stuff.
The technology that Navy uses is from a company called Catapult, if I'm not mistaken, and it's been around since about the early 2000s. I started hearing about it right around the Beijing Olympics when a lot of the folks covering those games were talking about how technology is starting to emerge and becoming more prevalent in sports in general. When did you first hear about this technology, and how long has it been used at Navy?
I heard about Catapult probably years ago. Well, there's been other wearable technologies. You know, Polar has been a heart rate monitor. They've done a lot of different stuff with wearables also. So they've always been like the kind of leader in the business, I believe, for years. And, you know, soccer's programs have always been ahead of this wearable technology. They've been using it for a very long time. And it just started to creep over into, you know, your sports in the States, the bigger sports in the States, football, basketball, probably in the last 10 to 15 years, I would say, on the college level. Navy, we got Catapult. We tested it, I believe, the winter of 2019. And then we liked what the product as we used it through winter training and spring ball. And then we decided to get full board, I believe, in the summer, leading into the summer training of 2019.
Oh, okay. All right. So I actually did a little bit of poking around on their website to check out the different solutions they had. And as I see it, they have like about three different solutions as it relates to wearable tech. And then they do some other things like video analysis and also some means of tracking athlete management. So if I'm looking at this correctly, we're looking at something called Vector, Clear Sky, and Player Tech. And I wanted to just get your take on, you know, which one provides the most value to you as a coach? Do you use more than one? You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So here we use the Vector 7, the Vector S7. And we have 50 units that we spread amongst the team. I'm not real knowledgeable about the other ones that they have, you know, so I've been trying to just deep dive into what we have to make sure that we're using it for all the value that we can get out of it. But yeah, I think this Vector has done a really good job for us of managing the guys and the different metrics that we're looking at, and you know, just trying to really hone in on the data points that we feel are valuable for us right now, and go from there.
All right, cool. So, you know, to your point, you talked about different metrics. You know, obviously, you know, measuring speed is one of them, but given what you're dealing with here, I'm sure there's a bunch of other stuff that you can look at. Can you kind of walk us through some of the things that you find the most important when it comes to that?
Yeah, we measure probably about 10 different things. To name a few, I got my screen up here. That's why I'm looking over here. Sorry. Obviously, max velocity, that's going to be your top speed. Everybody wants to know how fast they're going. As coaches, we want to know, you know, what top speed their guys can hit. But the athletes also want to know what top speed they can hit too. So we post those numbers for those guys in, you know, a healthy competition there. Total IMAs. IMAs is going to be the explosive movements, whichever way they're going, left, right. So we're able to track some of that. High speed distance is going to be another one. That's going to tell us a really good story. Obviously the max velocity is going to tell us what peak they hit, but the top, the high speed distance is going to tell us how many yards they've accumulated in a certain percentage of that max speed. And then obviously player load is a huge metrics that that Catapult is known for. And that's going to kind of give you the glance of how much work is a guy doing, moving left, right. It's going to encompass a little bit of everything. So then we do total player load, we do player load per minute, duration, and total distance. It's just to name a few of the ones that we're going over.
Okay, yeah, boy, that's pretty comprehensive. And you know, I was thinking about what you were saying about that healthy competition. I'm sure there's a lot of back and forth that goes on between the players, right?
Absolutely.
So let's talk about just a random position. It could be anyone you want. And I was kind of curious in terms of what sort of parameters you identify to say, okay, you know, at the fullback spot, or you know, even at safety or whatever, this guy is performing at a pretty high level. What are some of the indicators you look for there?
Yeah, so we're still in the data gathering stage. You know, we've had it for since 2019, like I spoke about. But obviously, we missed a large portion last year due to COVID, to where we could collect more data. So, you know, you want to try to find norms. You know, I think we're pretty dialed in on how we want our season to look. You know, our in-season practices. So that's another way we use Catapult, is as a if this is supposed to be a low day, the number should reflect a low day.
Mm-hmm.
If this is supposed to be a very high intensity day, the intensity is supposed to be very high, then the number should reflect that too. So I think we're dialed in there. But in the off season, I haven't had a chance to use it as consistent as I want to really get the numbers to show the norms to be able to refer back to. But if you're talking position by position, I think it's going to go day by day, Carl. I think depends on what day of the week it is, what the running protocol is calling for, and where we're at in the off season or the in season.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, players wear this in the games too, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. We the guys wear it in the game. Anytime they pretty much put on cleats, they have and go outside, they have on their Catapult unit. You know, so we try to get as much data as possible.
Oh, very good. Very good. So now I was wondering if you could share a story where the data from one of the players really got the coach's attention.
Yeah. We got a heck of a fullback here, Jamel Carruthers. In 2019, he was kind of buried on the depth chart, but he had on a Catapult unit and he was on special teams. And we could see how fast he was, you know. So then I believe that gave him an opportunity to get a chance at fullback again, you know, and it all worked out. He had a really great second half of the season, to where I believe Catapult helped him get that second opportunity to show what he could do because of the numbers that he was posting, the top end speed, the explosive movements, the high speed distance, you know, all of those things that were being tracked by us. The coaches were able to see that and say, hey, man, you know, we got to find a way to get this guy on the field again.
Yeah, in fact, that's the story that I'd heard as well. And I'm trying to remember what game would they actually shared that, because, you know, I've been watching Navy games for longer than I can think of. And I just remember when he all of a sudden just burst on the scene there, I'm like, oh, man, where did that guy come from? And then it's so funny because right as soon as I thought that, they shared the story. So I thought that was pretty interesting how that played out.
And I think the coaches did a really good job of, you know, rotating the units, you know, on certain guys. We only have 50 and we have a lot more than 50 guys. But, you know, making sure that enough guys get the units so that if there's something that we're not seeing with our own eyes out on the field, you know, the numbers will reflect it. You know, we all knew Carruthers could run. But I think, you know, those numbers consistent numbers that he was posting, you know, gave another like, this is true. We really have to find a way to get this guy on the field, you know. So, and I think that's awesome, you know, that we could use this that the technology could help a kid get another opportunity to help the team right away.
Right, right. Now, you mentioned one other metric, and it just kind of came to me as you were going through the question there, but it had to do with measuring explosiveness, right? I mean, yeah. Is that something that is important across all positions, or is it more important in some than in others?
No, I am a full believer that is important in all positions. You can't point out a position where you don't want an explosive guy. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's an offensive lineman or the demands that we put on the quarterback position here, the wideouts, the DBs, the linebackers, the defensive linemen, everybody, you know, I think we all have to be explosive, you know, and that's one of the ways we try to train in the weight room as much as possible You know, so hopefully those numbers go up when those guys put on the catapult units later on.
Right, right. Okay, so now I want to kind of make the connection between what you guys are seeing in the data and crafting a strength and conditioning program to hopefully, you know, elevate that performance over time. What would that look like?
Yeah, so it would be more towards like volume. That maybe we'd aim more at the volume and the player load. So we know what an off season is going to look like, or summer camp is going to look like. So we want to try to get our guys as close to those numbers as possible in the summer, so that when they go into camp, it's not a complete shock to their system. Obviously, we can't do it with shoulder pads and helmets, but you know, we try to always track how much volume the guys are getting in our runs with us in the off season, how much player load those guys are getting also, you know, and then we try to compare those numbers to what the first week of fall camp is going to look like. You know, how far off are we from there? You know, so if we can get those numbers to be close, we'll never be able to get them to match, because you're going to go out there and practice for 2.5 hours. I can't run the guys for 2.5 hours. The NCAA won't allow me. But you know, we want to try to get those numbers as close as possible, you know, trending in that direction, so that when those guys get to camp, you know, we hopefully see less soft tissue injuries. We hopefully see guys striving through camp instead of just being completely beat down by the big change of season.
Okay. All right. Good. Good. So you mentioned the story about Jamel Carruthers. Are there any other success stories that you can kind of point to that really reinforce your belief in the use of the technology?
Yeah, I mean, we get a chance to see the guys. Anytime you get a chance to track guys, you know, it's gonna spark another glimpse in a coach's eye or in our eye. You know, just posting the numbers in themselves, so that the guys compete. You know, they're not only competing against the guy to the left, but they can see that number. Hey, I want that number to be a little higher. You know, so now they get to compete with themselves, you know, each day. So, you know, just always trying to give them something to strive for, you know, something to train for, train a little harder. If posting those numbers is going to do that, then I believe Catapult's worth it.
Right, right. Okay, good, good. Now, where do you see things going next with this technology? In other words, it's been evolving, you know, for a long, long time. Where do you see it going next? And is there something that you would like to see that isn't there right now?
Yeah. Wow. That's a tough question. I know a lot of staffs across the country, a lot of teams across the country have a sports science staff that just work on, you know, these numbers. You know, here we don't have that luxury. So hopefully we would, you know, down the line have somebody a lot smarter than myself that could crunch these numbers, you know, because this thing has, we do maybe 10 different metrics, but it can get so many other things that we can deep dive into. And not to say that Catapult is the only wearable that's worth it. You know, there are a lot of different ones out there, that we've tested and, that I know different guys in the business that are using, and they find a lot of value in those. But for us, Catapult, I think, fits what we do, mm-hmm. you know, and the way it breaks it down, and it's the user friendliness. Like I said, like there's a lot of smart guys out there. I'm probably not one of them. I'm trying to learn every day more about my craft, more about Catapult, anything that's going to help give us an edge. To improve the team, you know, I'm all in on. My staff is doing the same thing, but yeah, where can it go? I think it can get pretty crazy. I watched my kids play this virtual reality game, and it's almost scary, you know. So what technology can do is, I can't put a limit on it, man. You know, 20, 30, 20 years ago, I wouldn't have told you when I played, you know, that I would be that our athletes would be wearing something that's tracking their total volume and their top speeds and every other thing that you can think about. You know, I didn't think that was possible. So I don't know. that's a tough question. I don't know where it's going to go. I'm sure whatever happens, I think it will be very useful for some programs, maybe a little much for other programs. And I think that's the thing too. I think that we do a really good job here at the with Navy football is we're doing what works for us. You know, we're not doing it because another team is doing it or other teams in our conference are doing it. We're doing it because it works for us. Mm-hmm. You know, and Nehemiah uses the numbers, you know, but he's not handicapped by the numbers. You know, the numbers don't what do they say? Paralysis by analysis.
Right.
You know, we're not in that stage. We still get after it, you know. And when we want to get after it, the numbers reflect that. And I appreciate Coach for using it in that way, you know, because I can only present the information and he's obviously going to be the major driver.
Right, right. Okay. All right, Coach, we're close to wrapping things up. I did want to circle back with you to make sure that I didn't leave anything out. Is there any question that I didn't ask that I maybe should have? Or is there another point regarding the technology that you would like to make?
You know, there's a live, we don't run it live, but you can get live data as it's happening from these units. And I think that's something that's really unique. If you have the manpower to do it, you know, that you can have someone out there at practice, you know, gathering this data right away, giving that feedback to the coaches, giving that feedback to the athletes right away. You don't have to wait the 2 hours after practice to post the numbers up or whatever. So there's a lot of in-depth things that you can do with Catapult and other technologies out there that I think can be really beneficial to a lot of programs. But again, like I said earlier, I don't never want us to just stare at the numbers. You know, these coaches get paid a lot of money and they're really good at what they do by evaluating talent, you know. So this is just another check of what the eye sees, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I totally get that. And that's a great point. Okay, I think that pretty much wraps things up. Coach, thanks so much for being with us here today. Best of luck through the spring practices, and hopefully we get through those with no major injuries.
That's the plan.
And then we can just roll into the preseason and look forward to a great 2021.
Thanks, Carl, for having me.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. Once again, that was Coach Brian Fitzpatrick, and he is the head strength and conditioning coach for the Navy football team. We'll be back in a minute after a short break. Okay, we're back. And before we move on to our question of the day, I wanted to revisit our conversation with Coach Fitzpatrick, where he talked about explosiveness. He referenced a metric called IMAs, and that stands for Inertial Movement Analysis. And to get this data, the Catapult Vector uses a series of gyroscopes and accelerometers to capture the athlete's movements. So that got me thinking about two things. First, it totally blows me away that gyroscopes and accelerometers are tiny enough to be used this way. And second, I wonder how close Malcolm Perry ever came to making one of those pieces of tech just blow up. I mean, think about how fast that guy can change directions, and he can do it without even really seeming to slow down. So I can just see him causing one of those things to just start smoking because it got too overloaded trying to keep up with him. Anyway, that's just a thought that kind of popped into my head. Now it's time for our question of the day, and we did have a couple of responses to the question from our last episode. Those of you who happened to check it out may remember that we were talking about the Navy rowing team, and I asked you guys if you and five of your friends were put in a crew shell with two experienced Navy rowers and a coxswain, how long do you think it would take you to row 100 meters? And by the way, you have one lesson under your belt as well. Now, remember that the Navy crew that won the King's Cup covered a little over 2,000 meters in just around 6.5 minutes. So my answer, I'd have to go with about 4 or 5 minutes, because even with one lesson under our belt, I just don't see how we could get in sync well enough to cover that distance any faster. And I'm pretty sure that the two experienced rowers and the coxswain would be spending all their time correcting for all the mistakes me and my buddies make. So like I said, I heard back from a couple of people, and they're both classmates. The first is Scott Gordon, so thanks, Scott, for getting back to me. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase here, but Scott comes to this question from the perspective of actually teaching high school kids how to row. So Gordy says, having coached 6 newbies and 2 experienced rowers in an 8 before, meaning a crew of 8, the boat speed was pretty slow. Now, he was dealing with high school kids. But he goes on to say that with midshipmen at Navy who had never rowed before, he could get them to a 500-meter pace of 2 minutes 45 seconds, and that works out to be 33 seconds for 100 meters. Now, here's the interesting thing. Gordy goes on to share the time gap between a group of unskilled rowers and a crew of skilled varsity rowers. And that turns out to be pretty significant. An experienced varsity crew can cover 500 meters in about a minute and 30 seconds. So when you think about it, that's nearly twice as fast as that unskilled group. So that means that varsity crew could cover that 100-meter distance in about, 15 seconds or so. The second person I heard from was Tom Callahan, who was on the lightweight rowing team when we were at Navy. So here's how he responded. Kyle, great piece on the Navy rowing team and the King's Cup. You asked a hypothetical question about covering the course with some friends and two of the Navy oarsmen. I know those days are over for me, and just surviving that 2,000-meter distance would be goal one. But all things considered, I'm probably looking at about 10-plus minutes for that 2,000-meter distance, and that works out to 30 to 35 seconds for 100 meters. So, once again, thanks to Gordy and Tom for responding. As I mentioned, they were both on the Navy rowing team, and they continue to stay connected to the sport. And by the way, I did want to mention that when I wrote the piece on the King's Cup last year for the Navy Sports Nation blog, both Gordy and Tom were instrumental in helping me pull that together. Now let's jump back to the question of the day for this episode, and it's pretty simple. My question is, what is your wearable technology of choice? I know that we got a lot of recreation athletes out there, whether you run, bike, swim, maybe you're crazy enough to be a triathlete and do it all at the same time. But either way, I'm just kind of curious to see what you guys have been using out there. I'm kind of a Garmin guy myself, but I'm always open to checking out new technology, so I'd be looking forward to hearing from you. And to respond back, you can call Navy Sports Central at 623-282-4896. Again, that's 623-282-4896. And for those of you who do respond, we'll go ahead and share your answers on the next podcast. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we will check in with our two athletes on the Midwatch. All right, now let's see how our two athletes on the Midwatch are doing. We're going to go ahead and start with Nicole Victory from the women's lacrosse team. The team did get back into the win column yesterday. They beat George Mason 18-9 in, again, another game that was just played in miserable conditions. This one, it was just a steady rain the whole time. Now, when these two teams met a month and a half ago or so, they played the game in freezing rain. So even though it was wet yesterday, I'm sure this game must have felt about 10 times better. Anyway, Victory had 3 goals in the game yesterday, and that brings her total to 18 for the year. And to go along with that, she has 10 assists for the season. So overall, she's got 28 points, and that's also good for number one on the team. Victory is so good at that attacker position because she's a threat to score just about any time she gets the ball, but she's also really good at spotting midfielders cutting to the cage, especially when she draws a double team. And one more thing worth noting, with 28 points so far just through 8 games, Victory would be on pace to score over 70 points for the season. And anytime you're an attacker and you're putting up those kinds of numbers, that just shows how productive you are on offense. I think it's going to be really fun to see how she finishes out the year and what'll be her final season at Navy. Now let's move on to Navy baseball pitcher Charlie Connolly. He did take his first loss against Lehigh a couple weekends ago. The score was 5-1. Connolly only allowed 3 earned runs, and he actually struck out 11, which tied his career high. The Mids just couldn't give him any run support this time out. But Conley will have a chance to get back on track this weekend against Bucknell. And one last thing, there was a really good story on Conley in one of the local sports publications called the Baltimore Press Box. I'll go ahead and post a link in the show notes for you, but the article talks about how some slight changes in pitch mechanics has helped make Conley one of the most dominant pitchers in the league. Now, believe it or not, the Mids still have 18 games left, so Conley's definitely going to have a chance to add to his numbers. And among those 18 games are 2 huge series. One is against Lehigh, who is currently in first place in the division. That comes up in about 2 weeks, and the Mids will be finishing out the regular season with a 4-game set against Army, and that will be followed by the Patriot League tournament. That's going to do it for this edition of Navy Sports Central. Thank you all for joining us, and if you liked what you heard, be sure to follow us anywhere you get your podcast. Remember to get back to us on our Navy Sports Central question of the day. You can call 623-282-4896 to leave a voicemail or a text message. Again, that's 623-282-4896. And just a quick reminder, the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely my own and do not represent those of the U.S. Naval Academy or Navy Athletics. By the way, the music used in Navy Sports Central comes to you courtesy of Audio Jungle. This is a great website for purchasing the rights to use music from thousands of artists around the world, and those we feature in this podcast will be credited in the show notes.
Talk to you soon, everybody. Until next time, my name is Carl Darden. Go Navy, beat Army.